Good place to minister. Yeah. Yep. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, you would want him there if you're going down the track at 100 miles an hour and even fast 200 miles an hour. And I guarantee you, if that was your husband in there, you would want somebody to come and pray with you. So thank you, Pastor, Chaplain, Frank, whatever you want to be called. Yeah. So, hey, on your bulletin, it says June 12th. How many caught that error? One? Really, one? Just one? Okay, so this is the deal. This June 12th is when was like day five of me having COVID. So I was like, oh, I better not come by. So, you know, who is willing? Jennifer just volunteered automatically. I can do it for you. And I was like, oh, bless her. She's so willing to do so much. Look, she's with the kids out there getting soaking wet. And yeah, so that's, and then, you know me, I'm with your tithes and your offerings, I'm trying to be very good steward of it. So I didn't want to throw away 100 pieces of bulletin paper, right? I mean, so just because the date is different, you guys don't mind, right? Yeah, so... yeah, that's the reason behind the date, and the reason behind it's because I wasn't about to come and share my germs with you. You know, I'll share everything else with you, but not my germs. So you'd be happy. Amen. So R&R, we think of R&R as like, yeah, I need some rest and relaxation. Yeah, how many of you need R&R? Yeah. Well, today, R&R is not rest and relaxation, sorry. It's responding and repenting. Oh, how many of you, like, leave right now? I didn't come to hear that. You know, as you read the Bible, and sometimes if you don't respond to it, you might want to go check your pulse, see if you actually are alive. Or sometimes you might be reading it just so I can check off that box. Yeah, I did it. So at the end of 365 days, you can say, oh, I read every day for the whole year. But what is God telling you? Some of you, I don't know if you're in this category, but how many of you think oh, I'm kind of afraid to read, because what if God asked me to go start a church? Ooh, yeah. So it happened to me. Yeah, it's spooky, you know. It was like, it was so weird how you know, you read, and God calls you to go do something. And sometimes we don't want to read because, oh, man, what if God tells me to, you know, quit my job and go to Mexico and do missions. Wow. Or Haiti. Or India. Or Africa. How many of you, if God called you to do that, you would do the Moses, oh Lord, I cannot speak well, you know, I want to go call James. He can speak so much better than me. I want to call Pastor Aaron. You know, because, yeah, sometimes we don't want to because, oh, if God calls me to do something that spooky, will I go? In Hebrews 4:2 says this, for indeed we have good news preached to us. You know, every Sunday you get good news preached to you. If you listen to some of the radio stations, you get good news preached to you. You read the Bible, you get good news preached to you. Just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them because it was not united by faith in those who heard. So, you know, there's a problem facing churches back then, churches now, that we know a lot about Christ. We know what he did, we know what's going on, but I think we don't know him in a personal, intimate way. And we need to get our knowledge of him, combine that with our faith. Which, of course, when you get knowledge of Christ and you have faith in him, it'll cause you to do things. See, we need to let the good news about Christ benefit our life. We get to believe in him and his good news, and then we act on what we learn. We get to trust in Christ to do what he says. We cannot just hear the good news, boop, go in one ear and whoop, gone out the other ear. Right? We need to hear the good news in one ear, boop, stop in our brains a little while, process it, drop it down 18 inches to our heart, and bang, comes out in our hands in a form of action. Amen?
Amen.
Hebrews 4:12 is just a powerful word for us. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as division of soul and spirit, both joints and marrow, able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And this statement here is so true. You know, I have been reading God's word for 20-something years. You know, I may not remember everything that God said to me in the past, but I can guarantee you that whatever was spoken to me on that day that it was spoken to me, it was relevant for the situation and the time in the things that I was facing. And if I didn't act upon it, then I played the fool. But when I did act on it, I was better for it. You know, I think when we read the Bible, we understand it, we apply it, I think we get some kind of benefit from it, but not only us, but those around us. We become better, and the people around us get treated better. It's like I responded and I repented. You know, and I responded, I repented to the word. I got my life in order. And, you know, God is still working on me. And believe me, you know from what I share, I don't have it all together. I got a lot of God. When God found me, I was pretty bad. And he slowly chipping away all the junk. And, I mean, probably had so much junk that he's still taking 20 years to work on me. Yeah, I mean, if anybody took 20 years on a restoration job, anybody, yeah, Mike, yeah? Yeah, I'm taking that long, so whatever it was you're working on must have been pretty bad, just like me. And so since I responded and repented, I believe that my family got some benefits from it because I was different. And I think maybe you all got something, because if I didn't respond and I didn't repent, then who knows who would be up here? Yeah. Maybe some of you, yeah, maybe somebody better would have been here. Yeah. And so that's the whole thing of why we have so many different speakers. Because my job is to just train people up, raise them up, and keep producing people who can teach. Yeah, so when you respond and you repent, man, not only you, but those around you will reap the benefits. You know, if you see, the word of God is so powerful that if we're willing, I mean, if you're willing to read it, understand it, apply it, it'll change your life for the better. But like I always say, there's you know, when you get something, there's like always a warning label to it. Yeah? Warning. Eating all this sugar may cause diabetes. Yeah, there's a warning to good stuff. And when you accept Christ and you follow him, there's a warning. following Christ will not make your life easy and comfortable. It won't, you know, it's not like everything is, oh, now I accepted Jesus. Life is a bed of roses. It is so good, the fragrance. Oh, it's so smooth. The road is not bumpy. It's more like the opposite. It's like you're going four-wheel drive on an off-road where there's no road. It's bumpy. But God will give you all the things you need to get through. He will equip you, and you'll be doing the right thing, and you will get fulfilled. And your life will be full of blessings. When you read, you get increase of knowledge, problem solving. When you read God's living word, people will look at you and begin to wonder, what's going on? You know, doesn't have that outburst of anger anymore. Doesn't throw things like he used to. Throw your phone, kick the TV. How many of you ever went golfing? I threw the golf club farther than the ball. Seriously, because I was so mad. And you know what? You know who I blamed, right? The club. Yeah, you ever blame the golf club for you hitting on junk? Yeah, so, you know, you when the baseball player strikes out, he breaks the bat. Well, like, what's the bat's fault? You know, and all those stuff stop, and they look at me like, wow, what's happened to you? Huh? Something. In Acts 4:13, now as they observe the confidence of Peter and John, and understood that they were uneducated, untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. Oh, I can relate to you so much because sometimes I feel uneducated and untrained. Uneducated because I never went to seminary. And I questioned that when they wanted to license me as a pastor. It's like, how can you license me? I didn't go to Bible college. I don't have a degree in theology. And so the response was I got was, you went to the school of hard knocks. God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the call. And I hear that a lot. And I questioned, and it's like, then I, you know, of course, the Moses excuse, who am I to go and speak your word? I am not one of eloquent speech. I talk pidgin. And people don't understand sometimes. So, and then we look at the scripture. Peter and John were untrained, uneducated, and the council was as amazed at what being with Jesus has done for them. You know, you can sit with Jesus a little bit every day of the week. Change life. And a changed life convinces people of the power Jesus has, the power God has of daily sitting at his feet. One of your greatest testimonies is what is the difference people see in you, in your life, and your attitude since you believed in Christ. Because my attitude did a 180, really. Before Christ, it was everybody else's fault. Seriously, it was all your fault. All you guys was driving bad. Not me, it was all you guys. Yeah, you are you. I see your license plate when you cut me off. Ah, that's only Pastor Scott. He gonna forgive me. When you come to know Jesus Christ, then you realize, like, wait a minute. What's the common denominator here? Oh, crap, that's me. Right. So, the thing is, We read, we got to respond and repent. And number one on your bulletin, hear and understand the Bible. Here in 2 Timothy 3:16, that's one of my favorite scriptures, 3:16 and 17. So I'm going to ask you, can you read it with me? 2 Timothy 3:16, it's in your bulletin. Ready, go. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Woo, powerful, yeah? How much of scripture?
All.
Not just the ones you like, yeah? The ones that are going to promise you blessings. Yeah, sometimes it's all. And it tells me that the Bible is God-breathed. It's written by man, but inspired by the Holy Spirit. You know, its purpose is to teach me. You know, we like that. Sometimes we don't like the correction. Yeah, because you like to be corrected. Not really. But teaching, correction, training. Why? So that you and I will have the tools to do God's work. You ever go do something and you forgot some of the tools and you're trying to make a hole with a screwdriver and a hammer? You know, if you're a plumber and you got one pipe you got to put to the wall, and oh, I forgot my hole saw, and I have a screwdriver and a hammer, and you try to make one hole, it's like, just doesn't work. But God's word is there to give you the right tools to do his work. It was written for our instruction, so I can learn of what to do and what not to do. So number two, here it is. We gotta read and react. We gotta read, respond, move. You know, when you hear the message, when you read the Bible, man, it gotta motivate you out of your seats to get from being a fan to following him. It got to motivate you to do something other than just, oh yeah, that was a good message. Okay, great. But we got to respond. We got to react. In James 1:23, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently after the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides in it, not having become forgetful, a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. And I know we all want to be blessed. Here James is talking about us. You know, we hear the word and we become a doer. Not just hear, oh yeah, that was good, and just leave it at that. But we hear and we act, we react. You know, I want to ask a question. Does your Bible reading have any kind of effect on your behavior? If Sunday sermons are not having an effect on you, then do we need to change it? Do we need to lengthen it so you remember? Do we need to shorten it so that you can retain more? You got to let us know. Do we need to make it more understandable? I mean, if you want to let me know, tell me. I like, when I ask some questions, I like to ask Mike Callen. Mike is just a great brother. If I ask him for an honest opinion, he will tell me his honest opinion. And even it may hurt sometimes, at least he's honest. When I ask my brother James here, oh, buddy, you good, buddy, you awesome. He's like, oh, thank you, James. So when I want to be pumped up, I'll ask James. When I want to make a difference, I ask Mike. So I get encouragement, but then I get reality, which is good. Yeah, and I love both of them. And I appreciate Mike for, you know, sometimes I send Mike my notes, Mike, my sermon notes, because he makes the bulletins. Thank you so much. Beautiful pictures. And he tells me, you should change this word to this and this word. It's like, oh, Mike, man, you saved me so many times from looking like a dummy. But, you know, so if I look good because of the guys I got behind me, so thank you, Mike, for doing that and saving my, you know what, many times. So, you know, does your Bible reading have an effect on you? You know, if we need to change something, do we need to do a Bible study in your house? Do we? Because I'll come to your house and we'll do a Bible study. Anybody? Nobody. Why, your house messy like mine? Huh? Huh? Yeah? But yeah, boy, we're going to be at your house soon, Don. As soon as you're ready. And your house is neat and clean. And don't worry. But yeah, do we need to? We have so many things that can help you, respond and react to God's words. And so many ways that we can help you to read. And, you know, we are here to do that with you. Because we want you to be blessed, to be equipped for every good work. So I want to close, and if you have your Bibles, open up to Matthew 25. How many of you brought your Bibles? Hold your Bible up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh, some of you holding up your phones. Hey, that works, you know. That works. God makes it so convenient that we can have our Bibles. But yeah, I encourage you. Bring your Bible. But I'm going to be reading from Matthew 25 from verse 1. And it's like 13 verses, so bear with me. The kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, 5 were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the prudent took oil in flasks along with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight there was a shout, "Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the prudent, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the prudent answered, "No, there will not be enough oil for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some oil for yourselves." I don't know if they had 7-Eleven because this is at midnight, but go figure, right? And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready, went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Later, the other 10 virgins also came, saying, "Lord, Lord, open up for us." But he answered, "Truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour." So this parable revolves around 10 virgins who are in the middle of the night, are notified that they must rise and meet the approaching bridegroom. All 10 bring their lamps in order to see in the darkness. 5 were wise, 5 were not. 5 brought extra oil, 5 didn't. You know, when you go camping, you bring those propane cylinders. How many of you bring only one? Yeah. There you go, yeah. So, yeah, just like one time I went fishing and I went walking like far. And I only get 4 batteries in my headlamp and it went out. I was one of the dumb ones, yeah. So, you know, the 5 not so smart ones only had the oil what was in their lamp. And so when they were called, they were awakened, they said to the wise, "Give us some of your oils, because our lamps are going out." But they said, "No, there's not going to be enough for both of us. But instead, go to those who sell." So this parable comes right after Jesus' famous Mount on the Olives prophecy in Matthew 24. And right after that, he jumps into this. And this parable, the bridegroom represents Jesus coming back to earth. The 10 virgins collectively represent the Christians, the church of God, us, in the end time. And part of the reason for the Lord's return is so that he can resurrect and spiritually marry his church. You know, and some of the meaning that we can understand from this parable is that you and I, as Christians, you know, we gotta be ready, spiritually prepared to meet Jesus. Wise believers are those who always dedicate themselves to serving and fulfilling God's will. In our parable, the 5 foolish of the 10 represents Christians who are spiritually not ready to meet Jesus. How many of you, like, seeing all that is going on in the world, the war, the mass shootings, and says, man, Jesus is coming back soon, yeah? You think so? Jesus is coming back soon, the climate change and everything? And how many of you think, okay, if Jesus comes back tomorrow, am I going to be ready? Or I'm going to be standing before him, can you just give me a little bit more time to, you know? Sometimes we think, some of the foolish virgins might think, well, maybe the Lord's not going to notice us unprepared. Maybe we're still living in sin or purposefully sinning. Some of us may be kind of on the fence, lukewarm, like the Laodicean church in Revelation. Some of us may have just grown self-satisfied and like, hey, I'm in church every Sunday. I'm okay. I read my Bible and I pray occasionally. You know, sometimes we call that stagnant. You know, when there's nothing moving. You ever stepped in stagnant mud? You know, like when you go fishing into some nasty trails and you hit one of those mud puddles where nothing flows in and nothing's just stuck there. And man, it splatters all over and like, oh my gosh, this is dang. You know, maybe they only have enough oil just to last a short time. So here's what I want you to get this morning. The Bible, this book that's on your phone, in your iPad, on your lap, that book can change your life if you allow it. Not just the book, but the one who speaks through this book. Man, if you want to start reading and understanding and keep reading, then let us help you. If you have been reading it all this time, then read it slower. Read it in sloth version, word by word, so that you can, because, and then when you don't understand the word, you just got to say, hey, you know who is on the phone. If I say her name, she's going to pop up, so I'm not going to say her name. What is the definition of? It's how easy, right? You know, when I first started reading the Bible, I had to put a dictionary next to me, and I had to look up every word. You know how hard that was? Read it slower. If you are afraid to read it for what God might call you to do, oh, that's great. That is great. But I challenge you, read it. For some of you, it might be a big step. But that's good. I mean, how many of you ever remember buying your first car? Taking out a loan for $5,000, yeah? Oh, that's the old guys, yeah? Yeah. Now it's taking out a loan for $50,000. But you remember buying your first car? Wasn't it kind of spooky? Minimum wage was $2.90. Yeah, now you know how old I am. Okay, minimum wage, $2.90, okay? And you take out a loan for like $7,000. And it's like, wow, I don't know if I can pay this. But that was a big, spooky step. But I took it. And then when I wanted to buy a house, you know, buying a house for $111,000. I was 21 years old. It was 1986. And I was like, wow, I want this house. I don't know if I can afford it, but I want it. And by that step, if I didn't take those steps, then one day I said, oh, I'm going to sell my house in 1989. I'm going to sell my house and I'm going to relocate to over here because I have much more land and the housing is way cheaper and I can have an acre. I don't know why I got more grass to cut, but but, you know, all those steps, that first step of buying a car led to the next step of buying the house, led to the next step of relocating here. You know, the first step, reading the Bible, being afraid of what God is going to tell you. Man, take that step because it's going to lead to the next step. And God is going to reveal more and more and more. And next thing you know, people are going to look at you like, wow, that bugger, he was with Jesus. Or that sister, she was with Jesus because look how she solved problems. She no panic. They no blame. Because before we used to, when we had problems, how many of you, oh, blame. Oh, was her the one gave me the fruit? Yeah? Some wise pastor told me blame is to be lame. Ouch. So, went from blame to, okay, it's a problem. Let's look for a solution. Then they stop like, wow, you're not going to blame the other department. No, it's a problem. Let's fix it. Blaming somebody else is not going to fix the problem. And then people look at me like, wow, man, that's a different approach to a problem. Why? Because I was with Jesus. I cannot say that I was with anybody else, but that was the truth. I was with Jesus, and he taught me different things, different ways. And now I get God-given directions for my life every day. And if you're up to the challenge to respond to God's living word, then, hey, grab a reading plan. And if you have questions, text me. Hey, what does this mean? And then I'll send a text to Pastor Stevie because he's smart and he can answer. Yeah. But we want to get you ready. So if Jesus came back tomorrow, oh, New Hope Easter, I guarantee you're ready. Let's go. You in. Right? Not, oh, New Hope Easter, but you got to check if you're ready, man. See if you're spiritually ready to come. So we just want to make sure that, you know, you're not worried if Jesus come back tomorrow because you're ready. Right? I mean, you ever had a job interview? Oh, you prepare, you put on your best clothes, right? Comb your hair, shave. I'm ready for this. Think about all the questions they're going to ask. I am ready. We want you to have the confidence that knowing that Jesus comes back, man, I'm solid. I'm ready. Amen?
Amen.
Ask the worship team to come up. Oh my gosh, it's 10:02. I talk too much. You guys was used to the 9:40 sermons, huh? Yeah? Yeah? All right, let's bow your heads and pray. Maybe you need to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the first step in getting ready. So with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins, and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me, cleanse me, make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? Anybody? No shame. No shame. Anybody? Right. Lord, thank you so much. And I pray for each one here that spiritually, we will prepare diligently as we await your return. In the meantime, Lord, we would pray for our leaders. We pray for this world because it's a mess. And Lord, we pray for your return, that people will hear, respond, repent, and be ready for your second coming. We thank you, Lord. We love you, and we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Give the Lord praise. Hey, so Friday, I think, is the last day for summer school here. So we got 2 weeks to kind of spruce up the thing. So next week, Sunday, if you're willing, you know, bring your stuffs, and we're going to try to clean up as much as we can. We'll probably provide you some lunch, just enough to keep you going, not enough to make you go to sleep. And just give us a hand. We want to clean out the container. Yeah, and, you know, so if you guys know, like, get all dirty and muddy and weeds all over you, then you can help us clean in the container. And then if you want to get men down and weeded and poisoned, then, yeah, you're welcome to do any one of those. We did clean up underneath the coconut trees, which was one of their things on their list to help with. So we had a little excavator come in and take two loads of rubbish out of the way, which is real helpful for us. So if you can do that next week, we'd be grateful. But in the meantime, would you stand and join us as we sing?
All right. Thank you, Pastor Scott. What a wonderful message. Oh, and I know I was convicted a lot. My driving also. My patience. And you know, just it's so great to be able to be in the Word and learning and growing, and even in times when we don't understand, you know, being able to pray and ask for the Holy Spirit, because He's the one it's His job to teach us. So maybe some things that we don't understand, we're not ready for that yet. But the things that we do understand and come out clear, you know, we can implement those right away. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. But you are good.